Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 3, we were continuing with the qualifications of a pastor. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now the logic is added in the next verse. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, verse 5, how shall he take care of the church of God? So if he can't rule his own house, in other words, there will be problems in the church. He must deal with those problems. He must not allow the children to run the home. He must not allow a board or rich members to run God's house when God has set him as the overseer. Because when you do that, you're replacing God's rules with the contemporary, that of man. And it's never right. Okay, now that takes us into verse 6. Not a novice. That is referring to someone newly saved. Have you ever watched athletes who give a testimony at a revival meeting and it's on television and a lot of people are watching? They say, oh, how wonderful. And I don't doubt that perhaps a person did truly have a salvation experience. I'm not going to judge whether he did or he didn't. But then 6 months later, you see them in a beer commercial. Okay, and sometimes pastors will have in somebody who is a sports figure that says, I'm a Christian. You have them in there, then they do something way out there in left field. A few days later, it's all over the paper. No, one who is a pastor must be one who has studied the word, he has lived it, and has shown himself capable in the responsibilities he has been given prior to entering the pastorate. If you're not careful, this person will be lifted up with pride, which I think happens with a lot of these athletes that give their testimony and later fall. You see, pride is a sin that turned angels into devils. The next thing we see is that he is, in verse 7, to have a good report. Now, that is like blameless. But it specifies to those without. This is speaking now of the unsaved. In other words, a man who would be the pastor must be reputed for integrity in all places. The unsaved may hate him. They may disagree with him. But they will know he's a man of integrity. Now again, your church is without a pastor. This is what you need to look for in a pastor. You move into a new area. You're looking for a church. You need to see these things in a pastor. If you desire the office of a pastor, these things need to be your life. Now you will notice that I did not spend any time on people's responsibility toward the pastor in these first 7 verses. Now there are scriptures that have that. But if I did that, then we'd be an extra hour on this passage. But a church cannot have revival if the pastor is not the right man. Some of you, or some of the pastors, should I say, are as I am. My family is raised, and they're gone. Now all I can do is pray for them. Now they've brought me much blessings to my heart, but nonetheless, I can't do anything there any longer but to rebuke them, but I can't go in their homes and spank or do anything else. But hopefully, you'll pray for them. I hope you also see the need to pray for your pastor. God is stringent upon the pastor because he is the one God sets to lead his ministry, and he's going to call him to an account about it. And I think one thing to settle in your mind, that regardless, come what may, you will back and pray for God's ordained leader. Because revival hinges upon that. And why would you do that? Because God has him as your overseer. And refusing to follow God's order is what? It's sin. Now, perhaps you're listening, and God has called you to preach. You need to make that known. You need to let your pastor know that. If you're married, let your mate know that. She should know about it too. My friend, you need to be a person who is a prayer warrior, who studies the Word, and lives according to these things, if you desire that office. Now let me say this to those who are church members. Commit yourself to praying for your pastor on a daily basis. Write him a card. Why don't you sit down and do that after this broadcast is over? Sit down and write a nice thank you card or some kind of a note to your pastor saying, Pastor, we love you and we pray for you, and however we can serve the Lord through your direction, we want to do that. As God would lead you to lead us. We're behind you all the way. Let him know that. Let him know you love him. Look, this is not for me. This is for your pastor. Don't be afraid to write a card and put a $20 bill in there. $50 bill, $100 bill. Don't forget to, don't feel bad about that. Now, don't take from your tithe to do that, but do that for your pastor. Let him know you love him. Let him know that you're behind him. Be behind him 100%. And I know that God will bless that in eternity for sure. Now we're going to move on. And we look next at this chapter, the office of deacon. Now look, thank God for good deacons. Really, thank God for good deacons. Now, I have listened in preachers' conferences to other pastors, and I've listened in other venues concerning deacons. And I've heard them called the demon board. Often the preacher says, sarcastically, but a deacon. And many nod their heads about those bums. Well, I want you to know, you're not hearing that from me. I actually have a great board of deacons. I love those men. The men have worked with me as their pastor. And perhaps God knew this church would need those men if they was going to put me in here as pastor. But he's given me some good men. But I love them, and I pray for them. And especially, they've got to put up with me, so they need prayer. But they're good men, and I'm glad I've got them. So now, as we've looked at the qualifications of a pastor, we're going to look in this 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, this manual, church manual, given to us by the Holy Spirit of God, as it instructs us about the deacon, the office of the deacon. First, we must see the deacon's conduct. Likewise, verse 8 says, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Now, there is a quartet of requirements in this verse. The deacon must be grave. Now, I want to say this again about the word deacon. All who are deacons do not necessarily bear the title of deacon. The word deacon comes from the Greek word diakonos. It means to run through the dust or labor in the dust. How we would really interpret that in the Bible day, speaking in English terms, it would be equivalent to be an errand runner servant. Now understand, in the Bible days, you had about 120 million population, and about 60 million of those were considered servants. And some ways they'd be considered employees today. But in that case, your employer could beat you if you needed a good beating. And there are probably employers that wish that we still would do that today, I'm sure. But that was the idea that was involved back in that day. And that wasn't Bible, that was the culture of the day. So you need to understand that as well. But this was the work of an errand runner. Now, again, you didn't have the internet, didn't have telephone, didn't have cell phones. You didn't have the quick communication, the cars, and everything else. So a servant may have to run several miles, but he was an important man. He had to deliver a message from his master, and he better make sure the message was right, that he had it right, and he must make sure that they understand. A lot of times this errand runner, his errand was to go to the field to tell the other servants to do something and then to overlook and make sure they do it. Those servants better listen. If he goes back to the master and says, this servant is this and they're not doing that, then that servant is not to be disciplined with a whip by their master. But in all cases, these are servants who work for the good of their master. Now, a person can be a treasurer of the church, a janitor, a trustee. But not just men. There were women who worked in the churches in that day called deaconess. But now, that was not an office to which it referred. It was referring to their work.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.